Speech or Document 11. Conduct as the ultimate test of religious belief. From an address delivered at the Bicentenary Celebration of Christ Church Parish, Oyster Bay, NY, September 8, 1906. The man is not a good Christian if his domestic conduct is such that, when he returns to his home, his wife and his children feel a sense of uneasiness at his having come. The man is not a good Christian who, in his business dealings, fails to remember that it is incumbent upon him to hold a higher standard than his fellows, that it is incumbent upon him, if he is a very rich man, to make it evident alike in the way he earns and the way he spends his fortune, that the word of the Lord is to him a living truth and not a dead doctrine. And, of course, what I say applies even more strongly to the man in public life than to the man in business, than to the man in private life. More and more I believe that people who possess either religious belief or aspiration after religious belief are growing to demand conduct as the ultimate test of the worth of belief. Whenever we read in the newspapers that some man esteemed to be a pillar of the church has been guilty of business dishonesty, or political dishonesty, of offenses against the moral law in any shape or way, all who are members of the churches should feel a far greater disappointment, should feel a greater regret by far, than those who are not. We cannot afford to let it be supposed for a moment that we exact from those who are attendants and or members of churches any less strict observance of the moral law, anything but a more strict observance of the moral law, in all relations of life, than we expect from those who do not go to churches or who do not belong to them. We must strive each of us in his own life first, each of us is in a certain sense his brother's keeper next, so to bear ourselves is to show that we actually take to our own souls the teaching that by our fruits we shall be known, and that the corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit, and that the sound tree must prove its soundness by bringing forth good fruit. The nominal Christian, the man who has attended to all the outward observances of Christianity with no matter what scrupulous care, who nevertheless embezzles trust funds, who is a disgrace in business, in politics, or in home life, has sinned against the light, and is more, not less, blameworthy than if he had never made profession of belief. Each of us, laymen and clergymen alike, must strive in our actual conduct day by day with the people among whom we live to make them understand that what we expect from Christian folk, if they are sincere in their devotion to Christianity, is the highest standard of conduct, is the actual carrying out in practical life of what they profess to receive in church, from the Bible, and from their associations with their fellow members of whatever creed. All men in public life come in contact with much that is base, with much that is venal or cowardly or dishonest, and if they have in their hearts any appreciation of what is really necessary to true national greatness, they must feel the need of every force for good in this country being multiplied and strengthened to the utmost possible extent. Dr. Jeter spoke very strongly of the need of practical, of applied, religion in the life of this republic. He could not speak too strongly. We cannot continue as a republic. We cannot rise to any true level of greatness, unless that greatness is based upon and conditioned by a high and brave type of spiritual life. There is nothing we should beg for more than the telling of an untruth, whether a conventional untruth or not, and I would in no account be understood as affecting to deprecate material well-being. To tell men to disregard riches entirely is to preach to them not only a doctrine which it is impossible for them to live up to, but which the preacher knows perfectly well they will not try to live up to. Regard the things of the body, but put them below the things of the soul. Give to the body what the body is entitled to, but do not give it more than it is entitled to. The multimillionaire of whom Dr. Jeter spoke, the man of wealth generally, is not a harm but a good to the community, if he appreciates that he is a trustee for that wealth, that his use of it must also be a use which tells for decency in private life, for honesty and courage in business and in public life. No man is going to be of any real use to others until first of all he is able to carry his own weight, and if a man entirely disregards the things of the body it means that someone else has to regard them for him. He cannot be a factor for good in the community at large, unless he is first able to support himself and those dependent upon him. That is a fundamental, a basic duty for every man, and if he does not fulfill it, he is not only doing wrong to those who are near him, but he is depriving himself of the chance to do decent work for outsiders. So we need material well-being in this nation, as a foundation without which no superstructure can be raised. But upon that foundation we must see to it that we build the superstructure of high individual and national conduct, so that each man in his relations to his fellows shall actually be influenced by the ethical standards which teach us that the thing in life best worth having will prove in the end to be the sense of having so lived that others are better and not worse off, because we have lived.